gentlemen.
Hello?
Just a tiny bit. If you think there's feedback, it's okay. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be presenting here from this stage of the American Talkers area some of the old-time hollerers and vendors and street criers that were part of our city scenes and are still part of our city scenes in many places. And the man I'd like to introduce to you first is a gentleman named Sonny Diggs. Sonny Diggs is a Baltimore A-rabber who's been at the festival for a number of different years, selling fruits and vegetables. He also travels in the Baltimore streets doing traditional hollers and cries. And I'm going to give him a microphone and let him show you some of the calls and rhymes that were part of working on an A-rabber cart in Baltimore.
Good evening. That's Miss Kelly over there. Well, my name is Sonny Diggs. I'm from Baltimore. And I'm quite sure y'all know what an A-rabber is. Do you? Well, an A-rabber is so-called, as some people call us, hucksters, door boppers, or street vendors. Well, I consider myself as being an A-rabber because that's all I know. I was raised that way. And I used to work with an old fella named Joe Hudson when I was a little kid, and also my father. We used to take and load potatoes, like 2 to 3 tons of potatoes, on a double team of horses. And we would go around up and down the streets, and we would get like a quarter or half a peck for potatoes. Now, when you get potatoes and you can them in a slat basket, it's 2 half-a-pecks to a slat basket. You can them all the way up on the fourth floor, an apartment house. When you get up there and the lady tell you, say, oh, you got my potatoes. When you up on that fourth floor, then you got to go back down because you got white potatoes and no red potatoes, you in bad shape. All the way up there. And we also would have coal, wood. Some people would get us to bring wood all the way up on the fourth floor. Then when you get up there, then it'd be the wrong kind of wood. They want hickory wood. And you know, any kind of wood will keep you warm. Things like this shit. And different guys go up and down the street, they got different cries for selling their wares. Now, when I go up and down the street, I go up and down the street like it's your house. Strawberry, little strawberry, sugar cut. Got down up, cantaloupe, railroad sale, tomato, big orange, white potato, railroad tomato. And most people wouldn't buy watermelons or cantaloupes unless they come from Anne Arundel County. They didn't know because sometimes it come from Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, everywhere. Didn't have no tags on like a car did. They didn't know. All right, I'm going to put you with the big man here now.
Well, Sonny, why don't you do your version of the watermelon song? I really like the version that you do of that.
All righty.
You did it yesterday, so I thought I'd ask you to do it again.
Well, when I used to, what he wanted me to do to really get down when it looked like it was going to rain and got a whole load of watermelons on, and the next day the rent man going to be there, you know? And you had to really get down to it. Watermelon hop, let it red to the rind, let it fresh off the vine. If you don't have no money, you can get them on time. Red down to the rind, let it. I threw a little more in for you today. And I'm telling you a fact. If you want one, lady, you can get it. I'll bring it right round to the back. Waterville Hall, red to the run, lady, if your house is on fire. Miss Kelly. And there's no farming around. Let the shack burn down. Red to the run, lady. All right.
Thank you. You can really hear how musical these cries are. The next gentleman I'm going to introduce to you is Mr. Vincent Plochi, who's a New York bootjack who sells newspapers in New York City and did that as a young boy. Afterwards, he went into the Merchant Marine, and then when he retired, he started selling newspapers again. He's going to give you some of his favorite headlines that he's cried out on the New York streets and tell you about how he was one of the first people ever to yell, extra, extra, read all about it.
All right. There you just heard the gentleman just tell you a while ago how to get rid of the wares and everything like that. It's not like today. Years gone by, I'm talking over 50 years ago. What I'm talking to you about. Well, I was a newsboy in New York and going around and selling paper and everything like that. Sometimes you can't even sell 25 papers in the space of 3 or 4 hours a night. So therefore, I got the idea one time, and I said, well, the only reason I can try to go out and sell some paper is to get a couple of my friends, my newsboy, my colleague. So, all right, always seen this. Now I give you one of the first one that I tackled that night. I says, come on, boys. He says, what do you got? I says, I'm going out on bootjack. You just follow me. I went out, get your extra there. Extra, read all about it. Whoop, Lindbergh, now flying across the Atlantic. Extra, extra, read all about it. That's one of them. Now another one come again. Now Lindbergh, baby's been missing, kidnapped, or whatever it is. Whoop, read all about it. Whoop, Lindbergh, baby kidnapped there. Extra, 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 read all about it. Well, the next one come when that the Wall Street crash. That's in 1929. Whoa, stock market crash. Read all about it. Extra, extra. Whoa, big stock market crash there. Extra, read all about it. Well, that's about closing up. And that's what we had to do to sell paper. In those days, was no radio, no television, and nothing. Then afterward, I went in the Merchant Marine. The war break out. Then I come back, and my friend here, good Steve, which is a Smithsonian, he was gone bender, and he puts the brake on. Whoa, big bomb drum in Iran there. Iran embassy blown up. War in London. Thank you very much, and that's it.
All right, man.
Now, I heard Vincent in the streets of New York. I also want to introduce you to Mr. Tom Walton, who is a hot dog seller at the stadiums down in St. Petersburg, Florida, also sells vegetables from a truck, and is also going to sing a song for you that he wrote himself. I want you to be able to listen to how musical the cries are and also how much they're related to music. So many of the sounds of the marketplace are similar to the sounds that are being heard on the radio, and more important, they're oftentimes part of an old tradition of sounds that have been around particular groups that have been selling for many hundreds of years.
Thank you, each and every one. My name is Tommy Walton. I'm in this cold, cold place up here. I'll be glad it's over today in a way, and I hope it wasn't, because I got to get back where we don't never get down under 80 degrees anyway, you know. But we're going to make it out one more day. I'm just going to give you a few of my pictures that I use on my vegetable truck down there, and I'll let you know what we do to sell hot dogs throughout the stadium. You know, when I go down through the street, the people are mostly waiting for me all over the suburbs and the main part of the city. I'm licensed to take over the whole county of Pinellas. And we go over and, with the vegetable truck, and this is the way that we get the people to come out. It ain't me no vegetable man, y'all. Oh, I got the vegetable. Oh, I got the vegetables. Somebody say, what you got today, vegetable man? He got peas, beans, greens, apples, cucumbers, squash, bananas, corn on the cob, apples, onions, white taters, sweet taters, agitators, dictators, all kind of taters, y'all. Wow, 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 watermelon, cantaloupes, a little of this and a little of that, y'all. Sometime when we get into hot dogs, you know, really, to get into these things, you have to be doing it, you know, to really let you know what it's all about. I see a lot of the fellas come up on the stage. They can do better than what they're doing here, but you have to be able to get into your bag, you know, and really do your thing. I can't even get into the hot dog pitch, but I'll give you an idea how it is. We say, hot diggity dog, y'all. We got dog dogs, hot dog dogs, and doggone dogs. Some folks buy them and some folks don't, but that's all right with me. I'm going to sell them anyway. The ones that don't buy them, I call them a bunch of cheapskates. We got round dogs, over dogs, underdogs, northeast, southwest dog, dog dogs, and doggone dogs. Come get your dogs right here. Loaf of bread, pound of meat, all the gravy you can stop and eat. Hot diggity dog, y'all. Thank you. This is a song that I wrote, and I've been lucky enough since I've been here in Washington. I was going to stop down through Memphis, Tennessee to Nashville, I'm sorry, to get a recording, but this gentleman over here, he's going to take care of everything for me, and I'll be making a little money out of it, too. That's what it's all about. So right now, the name of my song is Roses and Holly. And you folks are lucky to get a chance to hear it first. And when this record come out, please buy one. I guess I got this guitar tuned up right. I'm a little hoarse. I think I'll do it without the guitar. Roses and hollies are blooming. I have a right to see a flower grow. I can remember when, a long time ago, we used to watch the roses and hollies when they grow. It's a sweet, sweet life to watch the flowers as they bloom and grow. I can remember when, a long time ago, we used to watch the roses and hollies when they grow. Sitting down in the front room, by the warm fireplace, sitting there with my loved ones around about all over the house, watching the roses and hollies when they grow. I can remember a long time ago, when the wheat and the barley would grow, we would take our team and we'd go where the rose and the hollies grow. We're supposed to say bloom on the end of it, but I'm hoarse, I can't get to the bloom on, you know. But it'll be on the record. Thank you very kindly.
Did you used to, when you were young, did you hear the criers were at work? Do you remember any of the cries that you heard when you were a boy, when with other people selling? I never asked you that before. I just am curious.
Oh yes, there used to be a couple of fellas. They had the horse-drawn carts, you know, the wagon, and they would. I tried to get into the fruit and vegetable business, and I would see them going by, you know, like my dad told me one time. He said, son, if you're going to get into something and do it, you got to do it in the big way. Go all out for it. So I used to see the vendors out with the horse-drawn carts. They would say, watermelons, peas, beans, come on out and get your fresh vegetable today. I said, hot dog, I can beat that. I know I can beat that. And so I listened at them for a while, and they say, come on and get your watermelon, red to the rind and sweet as honey. If you don't want none, now get one for your honey. Watermelon, I got that right there. So then I picked up me a pitch. My dad said, okay, son, you can go out there if you think you're ready. Get your watermelon right here. We got watermelon, red to the rind, and sweet as honey. Wah, 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 watermelon. Pound of brick. I'm sorry, I'm through. Alton. Just can't get into it unless you're doing it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Alton, can you come on up? I also want to introduce you next, one of the last itinerant medicine peddlers who still travels around the country selling his medicine. And he's going to do some of the pitch. If you stand next to his stand, you can hear him talking away about his medicine. But what I'm going to have him do here is just give you a snatch of the part that he sings, because he has an interesting variety of singing pitch that's uniquely his own, and it's something that he's put together over years of selling. And he's just going to do just a few moments of his singing pitch for his medicine.
Let me take my bubble gum out of my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the medicine man, known as Alton Machen. But some of them call me the Tootsie Roll Man, the Jelly Bean Man, the L&M Man, the Candy Man, the Peanut Man, and the Medicine Man. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm mighty proud to be here this afternoon. See a lot of familiar faces I seen 3 or 4 years ago. See some people here that I seen at the Wolf Trap. Some of them down at Thurm College. Some over at John Henry's Festival. I usually make these colleges once a year where they have these big to-dos. So I got acquainted that way. So in the past few years, I met a friend of mine. He came down Hickory, North Carolina. Name was Steve. All right, I gather that he heard about me somewhere. So he come along one time and he interviewed me, asked me about my medicine. He interviewed me and I told him about the medicine. I had no idea that I was coming to Washington on this special occasion. But after he interviewed me, I think that he seen something would be very helpful to Smithsonian. So he talked to me a while, then I told him all about the history of myself. So he accepted it. So I thought and looked forward to it, thinking about it, concentrating, meditating on what he said. So a little while later, he notified me that he could use me at the Smithsonian in Washington. So I taken it from there. Then after I came to Washington here, I found out it was a lovely place, had people here from all over the country. And it made me more interested, made me think I am somebody. I always tried to be somebody because my daddy said he's going to make something out of it. But now he had a hard time making something out of it because I was on my own. I thought he didn't know what he was talking about. But finally he did make something out of the old boy. And I deeply appreciated that. Now I've been around for many, many years. I had a lot of experience dealing with people. You know, peace stands for party, peace stands for people. I was at a party last night. I enjoyed that. We had a nice party. I appreciate that. So I love these good things in life. So now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do a little picture right quick because I feel like my stomach is acting up, running out of energy. And it got something good up, Johnny, because I hear it. I'm going to sing a little song here about my medicine. My girl is named Lucille, but she didn't believe in medicine, but I had to coach her. I had to use good psychology to get her to take medicine because she's just like some other people that I know ain't sick. A lot of them sick, but they don't even know it. I'm going to sing this song here. I ain't going to take up much of your time. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to this now. I think it's pretty good myself. I believe it. I believe in it. Now, if a frog don't praise his pond, he ain't going to jump in it. He liked that pond. Here's the medicine man. The medicine man. The man is going to do you good, and I'm going to help you too. I'm going to make you feel good early in the morning and a whole lot better this afternoon and all night long. I'm talking about my girl. I'm talking about my girl, Lucille. Lucille, I'm going to do you good, and I'm going to help you too. Lucille, take your medicine, Lucille, because it's going to make you feel good early in the morning and a whole lot better this afternoon and all night long. Keep a looking good, Lucille, when you're feeling good early in the morning and a whole lot better this afternoon. You are satisfied, Lucille. Take your medicine, Lucille. I'm talking about my girl, Lucille. It's gonna make you do the things that you wanna do, Lucille. Making love, oh, how sweet it is, how sweet it is. The whole town, Lucille, is talking about it, how good it is.
Try it, you'll like it.
It's gonna do you good, Lucille. It's gonna make you feel just exactly like that. It's gonna make you look just exactly like that. Gonna make you feel good, Lucille. Take your medicine, baby.
Thank you very much. Alton Machen, the last of the traveling medicine showmen. Last of all, I'd like to introduce to you somebody who's well-known in the Washington area for his calls, and that's Marcus Johnson, the balloon man currently, and who once sold hot dogs and peanuts at the baseball stadium. And he's going to tell you a little bit about his chants and cries. You've probably heard them before on the Washington streets, and they're very much part of the sounds of the city. So here's Mr. Marcus Johnson.
Good afternoon, folks. Well, I have an attempt to try to tell you about how I started my, what he said, cries. Well, anyway, my spiel, whatever it is. I went to the ballpark, and, you know, my first time I was selling anything like that. But still, the people was cheering, and I wanted to get their attention. So when they stopped cheering, I came down behind them and saying, it is time to eat, drink, and be merry. Get your drinks from me. Take care of your thirst and relax with a nice, cold, refreshing Coca-Cola. They are real refreshing. But always, whenever I sell, had hot dogs, peanuts, popcorn, candy, anything that I was selling, it was always time to eat, drink, and be merry. So the peanuts, the people talked about most now. It is time to eat, drink, and be merry. So let's enjoy these nice, nutritious peanuts. They are nice, delicious, and nutritious. Better try some. Everybody loves to enjoy these nice, nutritious peanuts at the ball game. They are real nutritious. But after I stopped at the ballpark, I started selling in the street with balloon. This guy, he said, you can sell anything. He used to watch me at the ballpark. Why don't you help me sell some balloons? So, well, I needed some money, and I didn't have no job, so I got out there and started selling balloons, and I liked it, so I sell them up until now. You know, when I still go out a little while at night and exercise, but I still sell balloons. So this is what I say, I guess you all know. It is, now, they are big, they are beautiful, the stars, Humpty Dumpty, here, diddle, diddle, Jack and Jill. Oh, MacDonald had a farm. They're beautiful balloons to decorate. They make the pretty little ones happy. They make the lovely ladies happy, make the children happy. When they make the pretty little one happy, then everyone's happy. That's including the little ladies. Pick them out, get them now. Don't forget to make the pretty little one happy. When the little one is happy, then everyone's happy.
Thank you very much. We just wanted to present some of the cries of the vendors up here, and you'll be able to buy things directly from them along the aisle here. We do have one other vendor if he's around, Mr. Marcus Johnson. I'm sorry, Randall Johnson. But I think he may be too busy to come up. In fact, I see his wife selling for him. He must be at lunch. So thank you very much for enjoying our vendors' calls and chants. And in just a few minutes, we'll be starting back up here with some of the carnival pitchmen and sideshow talkers. You also might want to catch some of the films that are being shown in the green and white tent, the film tent, or part of the household auction that's being held in the yellow and white tent. Thank you very much. We'll be starting back up here in just a moment.
Midway. All sideshow personnel get ready to belly. Belly, belly, belly. Watch, watch. All sideshow personnel get ready to belly or you're going to be deazocked. You're going to be deazocked. There will be no driazos tonight. There'll be no driazos if you're not here to belly. Belly, belly.
Thank you very much. I'm here. Don't dock me. I'll do it. Just give me a little volume so I can do this nice. I don't have to raise my voice. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a free show in front of the big circus sideshow. We're going to bring out some of the entertainers. And gather down as close as you possibly can. Let me draw you a picture of how these things are supposed to look. Now, normally, there'll be a great big banner line. A banner line is metal pipes that go up 16 foot high. They're 10 foot wide. And on those pipes, there's about 120 foot of them. They have these great big pictorial paintings which is the front of the show. And then they have, this would be the ballet stage. And behind the pictorial paintings and the battle line would be a tent about 40 foot wide by 110 or 120 foot long. That would be the sideshow. Inside there, you'd have elevated stages and the entertainers would work on the stage. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to build a tip like I would normally on a Coney Island or on my own circus back in California. Watch, we're going to bring out some of the entertainers. Bring out the sword swallower. Bring out the, bring her out too. Bring out the big snake. It's going to be all free down here. Right, hurry up, lady. It's going to be all free in front of the big circus sideshow. We're going to bring out some of the entertainers. Is that a real dollar, kid? Hold that for a second. The second's up. Now watch. Watch the dollar. Notice my hands. Watch the dexterity of my digits as I perform these feats of magic. Watch who else is coming out. Bring her out too. Watch. It's going to be all free. Gather over here. Free. Hala Kishkana. Watch. Watch the dollar. You take an ordinary dollar bill. Notice the dexterity of my hands. Notice my fingers. As I perform these feats of prestidigitation, my fingers in no time during the performance ever leave my hands. Bring out the sword swallower. Watch this. You take the dollar bill, you wrap it around once, you wrap it around twice, you wrap it around three times. Now move down here, because when we lift up the curtain, you're going to get an opportunity of seeing the fat girl. Moving close. Venica, bente, mira, mira, senores, senores. See, I used to come from out west. They have a lot of Mexican folks. Watch this. Look at here. We're going to have a free show. You don't believe they have Mexican folks, lady? Oh, you believe me now? Okay. Oh, it's okay. If you're working in Coney Island, you speak Puerto Rican Spanish, too. Watch. Watch this. Watch the dollar. Hush, canini. Watch. And if you're in Canada, here's how it sounds in Canada. If you work in a French province. S'il vous plaît, mesdames et messieurs, attention. Spectacle gratis. Mon jeu de fire, grosse la femme, 25 sous. Entrez, s'il vous plaît. You know, if you had to go that way. Watch this. Look at here. Didn't go to school long, but I learned three languages to survive. Watch this. Watch the dollar. Watch the dollar. Watch what I'm going to do. We only do this on special occasions. I had the pleasure of doing this particular feat of magic in Washington, D.C., before the president of the United Underwear Company. Now watch this carefully. Now move down here. Hey, it's going to be all free. Hurry up. Watch. Now, ladies and gentlemen, while I'm waiting for more of the entertainers to come out here, I don't know if you realize it or not, but you are standing in front of the great big circus sideshow. Everything you see pictured on that side, and everything you see pictured on that side, we have inside, positively alive and just as advertised. I could tell you about the sword swallower, the man that takes a blade of steel, swallows it down, pulls it back up. The fire eater takes a cup full of gasoline, puts it in his mouth, and whoom, like a volcano, it'll send chills up and down your spine. I could tell you about the snake charmer with the big boa constrictors, but here's one I want to call to your attention, the iron tongue man. Now, I shan't insult your intelligence by saying he has a tongue made of iron. It's ridiculous. He has a hole in his tongue like you girls pierce your ears. He inserts a silver hook, lifts up a weight, and swings it back and forth like a pendulum on a clock. Kokomo, the mule-faced boy, the lower jaws, the protruding teeth that look and resemble that of a mule. Lola, the leopard-skinned girl, from the top of her head to the very tips of her toes, spotted like a jungle cat. The eyes, the fangs, it's a fascinating sight. But the one I want to call to your attention is Fat Alice. Fat Alice from Dallas. She's so big and so fat, why, it takes four men to hug her and a boxcar to lug her. And when she starts the dance, she quivers like a bowl of your grandma's jelly on a cold, frosty morn. Heck, if that don't make you laugh, there's something wrong with your laughing apparatus. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. You're going to see all of that. And you're going to see all of that for the one price. The price to go here is 50 cents. But I'll tell you, ticket seller, put away the 50-cent tickets. Don't sell them. For 2 minutes, by my watch, don't run over and get a hot dog at Nathan's and come back later. You're too late. But for 2 minutes and 2 minutes only, as long as there's a line going in, we're going to let everybody go in for a quarter, 25 cents. Freaks, wonders, and curiosities, the strange, the odd, the bizarre, and then you'd be on your way in. That's how it went. Thank you.
Can you explain what you've just done of gathering the tip?
That's called building a tip. Okay, what else?
And next would be turning the tip.
I did turn the tip. They're already in.
That means they had to pay money to...
That's the way on the line. I just let them go for a quarter. Ladies and gentlemen, years ago when I was a kid, I was about 13 years old. I was the world's youngest magician, and I was working in a place on 42nd Street in New York City down in the basement. It was called Huber's Museum. Probably a lot of you might remember it, and some of you older folks might. But down in that basement, they had a fire eater, sword swallowers, magicians, and a half man, half woman, and all that stuff. And they also had a flea circus. And the first opening I ever made on a show in my entire life was on a flea circus. I was 13, and there was a very fine, masterful talker by the name of Jack Elkins. He grabbed me by the elbows, and he put me on the ticket box. He says, "My boy, it's about time you learned how to do this. You heard it long enough." And he flipped me a little bag of change, because it cost 9 cents to go in and see this thing. And he says, "I'm going upstairs for a bowl of soup." I consequently found out going upstairs for a bowl of soup meant going upstairs for a drink. But didn't matter. This is if you were in Huber's Museum about 30 years ago, this is how it would have sounded. Ladies and gentlemen, you all move down here. Let me get this right. Hubert's Museum proudly presents Professor Heckler's Train Flea Circus. In this enclosure, you're going to see dozens of real, live, train-performing fleas. Fleas that juggle, jump through hoops, play football, operate a miniature merry-go-round. Tiny little fleas hitch you a chariot, and they actually run a race. But the most predominating feature of the entire show is little fleas dressed in costume, and they dance to the strains of music. It is without a doubt the most fascinating sight the human eye has ever witnessed. Now, the professor is on the inside, ready and waiting to give a performance. If you would like to go, ladies and gentlemen, there is a small admission. We don't apologize for it. It's only 9 cents. Fleas that juggle, jump through hoops, play football, and I make change, and they go inside, and I'd say, that's all, professor, and slide the door, and I'd scoop up the money, and that'd be it. And if somebody gave me a dollar and asked for 6 tickets, that was it. I blew it. I couldn't make change hardly. 9 cents really fouled me up. But I can count now. And what else? Grind shows?
Yeah.
Okay. I have several grind shows in California. That's where I live now. And I have one is the jungle rats, giant killer rats from the jungles of Cambodia. And it depends. They were from Vietnam for a while, and they were from Korea. But now they're from Cambodia. And this is how you would, a three-minute endless tape would sound if you were walking by the show. Rats. Rats, giant killer rats from the jungles of Cambodia, more feared than the sniper's bullet, capable of shredding a man's arm off in 30 seconds. It'll send chills up and down your spine. Rats that weigh up 60 pounds apiece, giants, thrills. They'll shred a man's arm off in 30 seconds. It's only a quarter, 25 cents. And then you go up and look down there and you have a 60-pound rat eating carrots. He's a vegetarian. And
how about Charlie Brown?
Charlie Brown. I have a little midget horse. It's a legitimate one, a little about 21 inches high. He's a dwarf horse. And if you were walking by the midget horse show, this is how the three-minute endless tape would sound. Charlie Brown, the smallest horse in the world. He eats but a shoebox of hay every day and drinks but a teacup of water. He's a tiny little fellow. Look down, way down a pasture knees. That's where he is. Charlie Brown, the smallest horse in the world. He eats but a shoebox of hay every day and drinks but a teacup of water. It's only a quarter, 25 cents. Go up and see that little fellow. He's a little puchin, a midget, a little guy. And then one time I was playing Dallas, Texas, and a big cowboy up there, he's looking down at the horse, and his friend says, hey, man, what kind of a horse is that? He says, it's a quarter horse. You give the man a quarter, come up and look at it.
Bobby,
and that, yes?
Can you tell us about your Uncle Fats?
Uncle Fats. My peddler Uncle Fats?
And how you first were exposed to the business of pitching.
Pitching, well, okay. Uncle Fats, I was working as a peddler. My Uncle Fats was a great, you know, peddler. And I used to carry the groceries 45 flights of stairs up, and they give me 3 cent tip or a quarter, you know. And Uncle Fats was good. And my mother told me last night, this is my mother down here. This is the lady who gave birth to the greatest showman in the world. Somebody asked her last night, what did you feel that you gave birth to the greatest showman in the world? She said, well, it was too late to help. No, in all seriousness, Mama told me that the first words I ever said, I thought I said mommy and daddy like other kids, but they said the first words I ever said was peaches and oranges, which I don't have no, is that right, Mom? You wouldn't kid me, would you? So I raised her well, you know, I took care of her for years. Uncle Fats, he's a peddler.
Selling oranges and peaches.
Yeah, well, he used to watch me a lot, and he used to say peaches, oranges to me, and that's what I learned how to say that. So I grew up normal. I'm perfectly normal now. I'm fine now. What do you want to do? You want to do?
Well, we're going to continue with some of our other.
Hey, you got a lot of guys
up here.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for my little end of the show. Have a nice day. Be kind to each other.
Bobby will be working later on. Overselling pens, and do listen to that pitch. It's a marvelous one. As he mentioned, he owns one of the largest traveling circus sideshows. It appears on the West Coast primarily. He also operates various grind shows. You heard about Charlie Brown, the rats, killer rats, that is. There are very few live shows still touring, but you do find some of them down in New Orleans now, and we have with us Bud Corey, who is a pitchman in front of some of the jazz establishments down there, and I'm going to ask him to demonstrate what he does and to explain a little bit about some of the shows and shops that are down in Bourbon Street that he has to compete with.
Thank you very much, Dick. My name is Bud Corey. Down in New Orleans, they call me the Bourbon Street Baffler. By the way, how many of you folks have been to New Orleans, been on Bourbon Street? Let me see your hands. Good. How many of you folks hate it when somebody asks you to raise your hand? Yeah, me too, right. Well, if you haven't been to Bourbon Street, let me tell you, it turns about 7 o'clock at night. Bourbon Street turns into the largest honky-tonk in the United States of America. They block off the streets, and the people just fill up the streets and sidewalks. We have a lot of jazz clubs down there. If you start from Canal Street and walk down Bourbon Street, you'll see a jazz club, a t-shirt shop, a girly show, a burlesque house, another jazz club, another t-shirt shop, another jazz show, another girly show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they employ a number of people like myself called jive talkers, because we're always shucking and driving, to stand out in front of particular clubs and try to attract you to our club, tell you it's something different. Now, we try to attract attention by our manner of dress, the way we act, and what we do. And it's hard to be humble when you're dressed like this with a silver buckle and everything like that. But if you want humility, I can give you humility. Underneath it all, I am humble. Underneath it all, Fruit of the Loom shorts. 3 pairs for $2.98. You can't get hurt. I'd like to give you a sample of my own cry. Now, by the way, on Bourbon Street, we talkers, Jive Talkers, probably the last group that you could legitimately call barkers. Now, the sideshow pitchman here will tell you that they don't like to be called barkers. That's a derogatory term. They say a barker is something small that wags its tail. But the term barker extends from way back before they had microphones. However, on Bourbon Street, we're not allowed to use microphones. We've got to yell pretty loud over the people, over the noise, and over the music. So I'm going to sort of give you an idea of what I do. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, dig me, I'm talking loud. I'm talking about jazz, I'm talking loud. Dig me, I'm going to keep talking until I draw a crowd. Because I've been in lots of jazz clubs, all the way from Bangor, Maine, all the way to L.A. But when I got to Bourbon Street, I decided to stay. All day, all night, we're bound to have somebody who has a horn. Blowing, going on shore as you're born. When you have a party, be a smarty, get your feet to thumping. Turn the music all around the wall a little. When the neighbors start complaining and remaining, you know the joint is jumping. Yeah, I'm out here in front of the famous door on Bourbon Street. There's no place like this place, anywhere near this place. So this must be the place. That's the way it goes on Bourbon Street. Everybody has their own individual crowds. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, sometimes, of course, at the beginning of the day, before the band goes on, the people start coming out in the street. We try to attract attention by giving a little free show. A little while ago, I told you I was known as the Bourbon Street Baffler. If some of you have been down there, you might know that. And the reason they call me that is if I can't dazzle you with my diamonds, I try to baffle you with my bull. That's not really the true story. The true story is the diamonds are on my playing cards. I sort of do card tricks on the corner of Conti and Bourbon to attract attention to my club. And I'd like to do some card tricks for you. Do you like card tricks, sir? Don't say no, because if you say no, I'll do 3 for spite. I enjoy flipping cards around in the air here, though. We got a little bit of wind. It's pretty hard to do that. I'd like you to know, especially you young folks, when you see somebody that can handle a deck of cards like me, you're looking at the product of a misspent youth. I'd like to do 1 or 2 card tricks for you. Sir, I was only kidding. Would you help me with a card trick? Take a card out and show it around to the people, but don't show it to me. Now, folks, I want you to understand that I do not use TV magic cards or trick cards or anything like that. I use an honest deck of cards on Bourbon Street. I'm known as the Bourbon Street Baffler, and we have a little bet down there that I'm not allowed to make here. Remember your card, sir. Would you be honest with me when you see it again? When I bet on a card trick, The standard bet is that I do my card tricks with an honest deck of cards, no TV magic cards or anything like that. Anybody disbelieves that on Bourbon Street, it's a $50 bet. They go buy an honest deck of cards, and I will repeat the card trick. That's about the only time I'll ever repeat a card trick. But I'm going to try one right now in the wind to show you why they call me the Bourbon Street Baffler. No wires, magnets, no magic cards. Thank you very much. I'd like to do one more for you. Sir, would you help me? Would you just say stop this time, any time? Just say stop. Just call out stop right there. You want to change your mind? Okay, look at it. Now, folks, what did I do? When I had that gentleman take that card out, I held on to the deck when he put the card back in there, didn't I? So obviously I did a little finger flinging. This time I'd like you to put the card back in the deck while you're holding the deck, okay? Just put the card back in the deck and mess them up a little bit, shuffle them up a little bit. Now it's a little more difficult. Okay, sir, thank you very much. Now, you've got to be honest with me. Did you put it back in the deck? Sometime yesterday, somebody didn't, you know, took the card out and did not put it back in the deck. And obviously, I couldn't do the trick. But I'm going to try to do it for you this time again, a little different than before. Was that it? Thank you very much. Well, I said if you didn't like card tricks, I was going to do three. I just did two of my own card tricks, but you folks have a lot of magicians right here in Washington, D.C. The other day I was down in Georgetown and noticed there was a street magician working, and I seen him do a trick I'd like to describe to you. It's very interesting. Would you help me with this, Dick? I just lost my spur. Yeah, just drop those in the hat. Now, whereas I used a whole deck of cards, he only used six cards. And as I walked up to him, he had his hat on the sidewalk, obviously for people to drop tips in, and he had six cards in his hand. He said, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cards. And he proceeded to take one card and put it up front. Then he took 1, 2, 3 cards and threw them in his hat. And he still had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cards. I thought that was a fabulous trick, so I hung around through his entire act. And after his show, I walked up to him and said, look, I'm a magician, but I'm from New Orleans. I'm no competition for you. I'll give you $10 if you teach me that trick. And he says, what trick was that? I says, the trick where you take 6 cards, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cards. You take one card and put it up front, and you take 1, 2, 3 cards, and you throw them in your hat, and you end up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cards. He says, well, that's pretty easy. Give me the $10, and I'll show you. So I paid him $10. He says, look, what you got to do is when you show him you got 6 cards, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you do a little misdirection. When you take that card from the back and put it up front, you take 1, 2, 3 cards and pretend to throw them in your hat like that. And then you show them around. You say, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cards. And I thought it was pretty good. So I went back to the hotel last night. I stood up in front of my mirror and I took 6 cards out of my deck. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cards. And I took one card and put it up front. And I took 1, 2, 3 cards and pretended to throw them in my hat, and I ended up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cards. Now, for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, right here in Washington, D.C., I myself will do the 6 card trick before a live audience. Now, thank you. I take 6 cards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cards. I take one card and put it up front, and I take 1, 2, 3 cards, and I throw them in my hat, and I still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, I forgot how to do the trick. I'm sorry. I'm going to do one more little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last day of the Folk Festival, and we talked a lot about New Orleans all during the week. And I enjoy talking about it and talking about jazz. And since this is the last show, I'd like to do a little something extra for you, a little something different. New Orleans is rich in folk tradition and heritage, and we have a lot of stories the Jive Talkers tell on Bourbon Street. The story about a feller a few years back called Nightstick, made famous very recently by one of the great epic poets of jazz and jive talking today, Tom Waits. And I'd like to give you something about along about the original version before Tom epitomized it for us. And it's a little bit about jive talking. You can imagine a fellow walking into a bar hustling drinks down in New Orleans on Bourbon Street, and it sounds something like this. Well, you can buy me a drink, and I'll tell you what I see. And I'll give you a bargain from the edge of a jive talker's dream. It'll buy a black widow spider with a riddle in his yarn that's clinging to the furrow of a jive man's brow. And I'll start talking from the edge of a thimble full of amaretta. Take you on a tour through the French Quarter and get you just as far as the empty of a bottle or the highway of a scar that's stretched across the blacktop of a cheek like that, and then ducks just beneath the brim of a fugitive's hat. And you learn why amaretto make me talk on most any face that ever cast a shadow on Bourbon Street Place. Hell, some people double-cross their mothers if it's liquor that they paid. And so a early bird said the night sticks on the hit parade. And he ain't got a prayer and his days are numbered. And we're going to track him down like a dog. But it's a tough customer they got in that trade. Cause the nightstick's heart pumps lemonade. And amaretto make a jive man keep talking all right. And I'm the only one who knows just where he stayed that night. He was in Pollock's yard in a switchblade storm, laying in a wheelbarrow with nothing but revenge to keep him warm. And $500,000 in unmarked bills was the nightstick's blanket in that February chill. And as the buzzards drove a crooked sky neath a black wing halo, he was dealing high Chicago in the mud, stacking the deck against a dragnet's eye. Old shivering nightstick in a miserable heap with a siren full of lullabies singing him to sleep and bleeding from a buttonhole torn by a slug fired from the barrel of a $2 gun that scorched a blister on the mid of a punk by now. And he's learned what you gotta pay to be a badass anyhow. He stuffed the hole in his gut with a $1,000 bandage. Had a king's ransom for a bedspread that don't amount to nothing. Just cobweb strings on a busted ukulele. But then the nightstick leaned on a black shillelagh. And he wiped the poison of a junkie's broken promise from his lips. And then he staggered out of the shadows yelling, I ain't never been afraid. And he shot out every streetlight down Bourbon Street Promenade, past Matwani's t-shirt